Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio station broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. English Defence League radio station, the official voice of the EDL. And tonight I've got to give a big thank you to Kel for starting the show. Ladies and gentlemen, for some unknown reason I couldn't call in. Under my normal number that I would call in, so I had to use the guest number. But, well, guess what? Kel was there, for me, and she jumped in swiftly there and sorted out that little technical issue that we were having. But hopefully there won't be too many problems with that. It's just at this moment in time, Kel's the host of the show. Kel, it's good to see you sitting in that big chair. Thank you.
And you better behave yourself, otherwise I will.
Oh,
drop.
I miss. Oh,
how you doing, Jeff?
I won't be a naughty boy. I won't throw them cotton ball walls at that kiddie at the front. I promise, miss.
Oh, that's okay. This is what I do, Jeff.
But I've got to thank you, Kel. Thank you so much for jumping in quick, because the number just went, you know, when you dial your number in, it just went dead. It was just quiet. I dialed three times, and that's what I said, I've got a problem. So thank goodness she was bang on the ball for me. And it's just weird, because when I called back in again, it let me come in, but you'd already taken control of the host section of it. So thank you once again. So, yes, I'm just a humble guest this evening, and Kel's got the reins.
I've got the power.
As good as you, Kel.
I've got the power. Check me out. Woo! I'm going to have fun in your studio, Jeff.
Well, I know. I know what you like, Kel. You and I've just noticed as well, we've got our very own Cat Strangler 101, and tonight he's Kitten Mittens. Well, I like that. That's a great.
Did you notice your nickname?
Swifty Jeffy. Whoa, what a great name, Swifty Jeffy. That's almost like the gameplay that I normally play, which does. The gameplay that I play is part of that as well. So anyway, it's good to see Tim's on this evening. He's in the studio, so I'm going to bring him on as well. Tim, it's good to see. He's sleek through Kel. He's on a diet or something. He's sleek through that cat flap this evening.
Oh yeah, he's very very quietly right now. Hi Tim.
Hi, Kel. Hi, Jeff. Good evening, everybody. Yes, I feel nice and sleek. I've been down to the gym this afternoon and got rid of some of those excess. The cat gym. Yeah, I've shed some of those extra pounds, so I'm slinking through the cat flap this afternoon. So it's all good.
It certainly is, and it's good to hear you this evening. And as you just heard, I was just experiencing. I just couldn't call in, Tim, and you know that just gets rather panicky, especially when you're just about a show is about to air live, and you can't call in. But as I say, thank goodness, as we know, Kel, she works miracles. And there's actually, Kel, you will see, I posted you because me and Army was talking. It's A Kind of Magic by Queen, and that and that's especially for you. So if you can upload it, we want to play that especially for you, for all the miracles that you do on our shows, not just the English Defence League radio show, but your own show, Tim's show, and all the other people that you help out there. And I think it's a sort of a, I hope you can upload it so we can play that, you know, we can play that especially for you, Kel, for all the hard work that you do for all of the shows out there. Would you not agree, Tim, that kudos to
yes.
Kel for all the work
not
that
a doubt.
She does.
And yes, I think she's most certainly the producer with now, how shall I phrase this?
I know.
You're trying to make it rhyme.
Not the hostess. He was going to say the hostess with the mostest.
Well,
I know that's
yeah,
him.
I was thinking of something along those lines, but I couldn't quite get the rhyme or the words to scan in quite the right way. But I mean, without a doubt, she's the best producer you could ask for.
She
so
certainly is. I think.
I think we should definitely acknowledge that. Definitely.
And that's what I'm saying. We want to play you a special tune just for you, Kel. And I think that tune that I talked about with Army, you know, Army asked me about it, and I said, I'm not sure if it's in the studio. That's why I said it's best if I just pass it along to you to upload it. And then maybe if you can do that in between the show, Kel, then we can just spend a couple of minutes for the fans' appreciation for you. So play a little tune just for you, Kel.
Oh, bless you guys. But, you know, I do it out of the love in my heart. There's no other place I'd rather be than helping my fellow counter-jihadists, getting the message out, and all the work that I do, it's nothing. It's like ice cream for me. It's my dessert. So believe me, this is not work for me. This is exactly what I love doing. So, but I do appreciate your saying that. You're so very kind, very, very kind. I just want to bring to your attention, though, that we have a birthday boy in the chat room.
Whose birthday is it then, Kel?
It's Golf Dog's birthday. So what I suggest to him, what we should do, is that we should play him the birthday song. So, Golf, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
And was that the screaming yak?
That was the goat.
Who's that?
Not the yak today,
noise,
that was the goat
Kel?
Today.
That's the noise of the yak, the Spongistan yak, I think, isn't it, Kel?
No, they do sound very similar, Jeff. But
yes.
I think you'll find, as Kel says, that is actually the goat rather than the yak.
Oh, the goat.
Yes, they do sound very similar. As many a yak has found out to their cost.
Yaggity yak.
Don't talk back. Oh yeah, and don't talk back today, Jeff, because I got the power.
Oh my goodness me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm at a disadvantage. Oh, excuse me. That may be because I'm sort of I'm scared to say anything to her because she might press buttons and I might be ejected out of my seat, ladies and gentlemen. So she's got that sort of power. You Kel.
But, and that I absolutely do. But you know what? I will not take advantage of my powers as a dictator. Oh, did I say that out loud?
She said dictator, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear that? She said dictator. Take her name, Tim.
Yes, that's right. We're not having any dictators here, that's for sure. We've got enough of them already.
Yes, so people like Cameron's the dictator. But Kel's nothing like that whatsoever. She's a lovely lady, and I've got to be really kind because
I'm absolutely not.
Oh, she's got a bloody truncheon out now, Tim.
Oh no, not the truncheon. Anything but that.
Not the truncheon, please. Not the truncheon.
Not the truncheon. No.
Oh, she's going to get the hose out as well. Watch out, Tim. But anyway, guys, as I say, it's so good. It's good to hear you once again back on the show this evening. Tim and Kel, what can I say? Thank goodness. Thank goodness that you're on the ball. As I say, because I had a few technical issues at the beginning. But that does not stop this show. The show must go on. We all say that. That's an old showmanship sort of thing, that the show must go on, because we've got so many important things that we want to discuss tonight. If you've had a chance, ladies and gentlemen, to check some of the slides as well, Kel, you've done wonders once again with those slides that you've put on this evening. It's always worthwhile checking the slides, because there's always some really good ones that Kel puts up there. So thank you once again, Kel, for the insight and the things that you do. Because we've got a story that Kel She sent it to me, well, maybe about 20, 25 minutes before the show started. I did drop the link in because I thought it was such a good link. And it's something that I think we wanted to be discussing tonight, that story, Kel. But it is your story. You posted me. Maybe you'd like to share it with our listeners out there who've... maybe they're not sure what we're on about, but that story which relates to the Muslim patrol ended ISBO's banning orders. So, Kel, if you...
ABO banning order, Jeff.
That's
what they have
apologies.
In Australia. That's what they have in Australia, isn't it?
What's it like?
any
of our Aborigine gentlemen that might be sitting out there, I actually said that wrong. I meant an ASBO, which we know it's a banning order. It's got nothing to do with you fine people, you Aborigine people. So, Tim, you shouldn't have been brought that to the listener's attention.
Yeah. I know.
I'm going to get inundated with Aborigines calling in and saying that was very good taste.
It reminds me of the time that I tried to play that song by the Swedish rock band on a didgeridoo, and my friend said, "Oh, that's Aboriginal." So anyway.
Oh, Tim.
Tim,
so fired from
you
Rock
should have been
radio.
A bloody comedian, mate. Your education was wasted. You should have been a comedian because you're cracking us up already. Look, Tim's giggling. Kel's giggling. I'm rolling up laughing. And probably our listening audience are rolling up laughing.
And
classic stuff.
Got Jeff, women giggle, men chuckle. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I'm doing a bit of chuckling myself.
Yeah, I'm chuckling. We're like the Chuckle Brothers, aren't we, Jeff?
Oh, Kelly's on form tonight. He's flying tonight, Tim is. But anyway, you're in fine fettle, by the sounds of it, this evening, Tim, and that is really good. That's a good word, isn't it? Fettle. Whatever it means.
Oh, yeah. It is, yeah. But I'll,
Tim,
I'll,
check it
I'll,
out, that word. Fettle. F-E-T-T-L-E.
All right, no more jokes about the Chuckle Brothers, Jeff. I'll pass the mic back to you. To me? To you. To you? To me. To you.
Oh, my goodness me. No, ladies and gentlemen, you're not listening to the English Defence League's comedy hour on a Friday. this is supposed to be a very serious show this week. Well, not too serious as such, but it is leading into a comedy section of the show. So early in the night as well, Tim.
yeah, okay, we'll keep it till later.
So anyway...
What news about the Muslim patrol then, Kel?
Oh,
this
yes, please.
This is really interesting. Yeah. This is from 2 days ago, and I got this one actually from the Daily Express, but Tim has another article from Jihad Watch, but I'm just going to cite the one I have in front of me right now, and this is that a judge has banned the Muslim patrol vigilantes for promoting Sharia law in Britain. Now, this involves three Islamic converts, and they were jailed for threatening non-believers in a self-styled Muslim patrol vigilante, and they were engaging in attacks, and they were banned 2 days ago from promoting Sharia law in Britain. And one of our absolute favorites is the gingerhead Jordan Horner convert, a.k.a. Jalil Uddin. He is the one that we always see. He's always wearing that black, I don't know, I call it a caftan. I don't know what he wears. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a dress. It's a nightgown. But
he's our favorite ginger, isn't he? He's our favorite ginger.
Oh, absolutely. And
so
he's the one that we see.
Gear
yeah.
On. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's just... just absolutely barking mad. He's the one that we see in the photos all the time, putting up those Sharia-controlled zone stickers all over Luton, for example. Well, he's 20 years old. He was charged, along with Ricardo McFarlane, who is 26, and Royal Barnes, who is 23. They've been handed antisocial behavioral orders, or ASPOs, which would forbid them from forcing their views on others. Oh, gee, hello. Mm. But they've also been forbidden from meeting with the hate cleric, Ajim Chowdhury. Now, Judge Timothy Pontius emitted the order. He said it was drastic, but the Old Bailey added, with the public interest in mind and the safety of individual members of the public in particular, it seems to me essential that these orders should be granted to run for that period of time. Now, the gang, they had been targeting, ladies and gentlemen, you'll remember, this is the same gang that were targeting young couples holding hands, people drinking alcohol, and women who they deemed to be dressed inappropriately. In a month of religious vigilantism between December of 2012 and January of 2013, everybody remembers that. So now this ASPO's issue, it was issued on Friday. It bars them from distributing material or accosting members of the public and causing them, quote, harassment, alarm, or distress, unquote. They were also forbidden from associating with each other and radical cleric Ajim Chowdhury and the other cleric Dean LePage, both leading members of a band group called Al Mujahirun, which was later named as Muslims Against Crusades, unless in a peaceful worship in a mosque. Okay. I'm just going to, there's more to this article, but what I'm going to do, I want to stop it right here, and I just want to reiterate what I just said. They're forbidden from associating with each other, and radical clerics, Ajim Chowdhury, Dean LePage, and they are not to associate with each other unless in a peaceful worship in a mosque. Now, my thinking of this is that we got a little bit of acquit going on here, in that they have technically been slapped with this antisocial behavior order, ASPOs, but they are still allowed to associate within a mosque. Now, I probably have like a three-pronged question here, but is there any point in slapping this order? Like, from a secular point of view, it seems okay, but they're still allowed to associate within a mosque. I'm confused by that, and I want to ask Tim, what do you think about that?
The first thing that comes to mind is that the antisocial behavior order is completely the wrong tool for dealing with these kind of people and these kind of activities. Now, in case our listeners from across the pond don't know, the antisocial behavior orders were brought in some years ago as a tool to crack down on low-level vandalism. So, for example, if you got children, I don't know, pushing fireworks through their neighbors' letterboxes, you would maybe not go through the process of taking them to court and giving them a criminal record and hammering them with the full force of the law. You would apply an antisocial behaviour order, which would typically be for a period of time, let's say 5 years, so that a child might understand that they've done something wrong and they're prohibited from specifically doing those things for a period of time, during which time hopefully they'll grow up a little bit and learn to become good citizens. That's the idea, not to slap children with criminal records at an early age, which could arguably lead them into a worse life of crime. That's the theory anyway. And that's the reason that antisocial behavioural orders were brought in. But what we have here is that the symptoms of what is rapidly becoming a national security issue. And antisocial behaviour orders are not the tool in order to deal with it. Let's use an analogy here. Say, the early days of World War II, we know that, say, on the English mainland. We know that there's likely to be a German invasion. All of a sudden, we see a handful of German soldiers walking down the street carrying rifles. What do? We arrest them and we tell them they're not allowed to carry rifles for a period of 5 years in our streets. We're completely ignoring the huge problem, the huge impact of the ideology that is behind why those soldiers were on our streets in the first place, which in this case was the Nazi ideology, the Nazi war machine, which is determined, we're looking theoretically back at the days of World War II, which is determined to crush us. So taking individual soldiers' rifles away from them and slapping them on the wrist is completely, to use that analogy, is completely the wrong way in which to approach the problem. What we have to do is to look at what's driving these people, going back to the present day and looking at what these guys are doing on the streets with Muslim patrol. What's driving them is the Islamic ideology, which says that they have got to control the behaviour of non-Muslims in an area which they deem to be under Muslim control. So this is more a national security issue and should be treated as such, which is to say, when people are caught behaving in this fashion, the correct way to treat them is to say, right, we're at war with Islam. This is a national security issue. We're going to take you guys off the streets and we're not going to let you back on again until the ideology behind what we're seeing has been totally crushed. Yeah, it might take 50 years, but, you know, we'll look after you and make sure you've got three meals a day, and we'll keep you off the streets until the problem's resolved. Now, you do that with a couple of hundred people who are currently probably under surveillance by our security services. I'm just thinking again in the UK here. You take the top couple of hundred people off the street and just say, this is a national security issue. Don't worry, you could be easily back on the street in 50 years' time once we've crushed the ideology. And you'll start to see an immediate change in the behaviour of other Muslims in the country who might be thinking of going down the same path. And that's the way to treat people like that. An antisocial behaviour order is completely inappropriate.
Well, that's
my view. Yeah.
Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, go ahead, Gail. Yeah, I was so intrigued. Sometimes, Tim, you know, when you said something, I think it takes a little time to digest it. And it's because it's so interesting that sometimes that's why there's always a little pause in silence before we come back to you, because it's
fair enough.
Is so spot on.
Sometimes I think
would you not
maybe
say that, Kel?
Sometimes I think you've maybe gone away to make a cup of tea, you know, because it's all gone quiet.
No, I wouldn't.
So
do
I have
that,
to ask.
But. No, very interesting. As I say, these ASBOs that they've been handed out, don't forget, there's a lot of kids in this country that they got so used to getting ASBOs. It's like a badge of honour to these kids. I think, Tim, you'd agree with what we've seen with some of these kids. It's a badge of honour to have an ASBO.
Well, it's certainly true. And as I say, when ASBOs were originally brought in, the idea was to give errant youngsters. Because, I mean, in any society, there are always errant youngsters, usually lads, but sometimes girls. And they decide they're going to push the boundaries, or maybe they haven't been given what we would see as correct parental guidance at home, and they become a bit of a nuisance. And in the past, what we used to do was slap them with the
clip
force.
Round a bloody ear, mate.
There was that option, obviously, and sometimes that used to do the trick. But of course, since we weren't allowed to give them a clip round the ear, the law. We only had a limited number of things in law which could be done, and they usually ended up applying criminal records to these young children, which then influenced them or had the risk of them in a bad way as their life went on. So the ASBOs were designed to try and show children. It was specifically children and teenagers that these were aimed at, or mostly anyway. It was designed to show them that what they were doing was frowned on by society, and hopefully put them back on the right track without giving them a criminal record. But as you say, Jeff, what happened was, of course, was that kids started to look on getting an ASBO as a badge of honour because, you know, they didn't have a criminal record. And once you got over the utter shame of the whole thing, if any shame was ever felt, and of course a lot of the trouble was that kids didn't feel the shame that, say, the previous generation of kids might have felt. I mean, if I was growing up, I remember when I was growing up, and if I was told that what I was doing was looked on or frowned on by the community, you know, I actually felt a great sense of shame, and shame has its place in a well-ordered society to try and to keep people under control. I'm not saying that you should go fully down the route that some Islamic societies go, where they use purely shame and honour is the fundamental control of the society. That's going too far the other way. But nevertheless, a little bit of shame is sometimes a good thing. And we had that when I was growing up. We had that, and I felt our society was better for it. But now kids don't feel that. There is no sense of shame.
Well,
and so
there's a bit of lack of discipline in not being funny, ladies and gentlemen. And me and Tim, we have the later years, you know, senior years, that we remember times when discipline was enforced in the schools. I think you was about a time when if we was anything wrong, we'd get the cane. Or, you know, that was the sort of things it was. But it did install discipline in the children. you didn't want to cause so many problems, because you knew before you know it, you was going to be outside the headmaster's office and going to get a cane for it. But it did install. You didn't have the problems like we have with the with the schools these days, where the lack of discipline, where teachers don't even want to teach because it's becoming so so dangerous to teach in the classrooms and that. And we've heard lots of stories. It's simply because the kid, if you lay a finger on a kid, if a teacher goes to maybe grab a kid and take him to the headmaster, he could be done for assault and things like that now. This is how things have changed around from when myself was you know, growing up as a young kid, and same with Tim. Mm-hmm. Would you not say that, Tim?
I certainly would, and you have to look really at how a community is held together, and the little things that hold community together. I mean, discipline amongst children is one thing that is actually quite important for when you're trying to keep a community together. If you can't keep children disciplined, then they will naturally push boundaries. I mean, I know from my own experience that's what kids do, and it's not because they're bad kids. It's because kids want to find out where the boundaries are. Once they find out where the boundaries are, they're much happier people, because they know they can go so far and no further. All right, you'll always get one or two people who decide they're going to overstep the boundaries, and that's when you impose more than just the threat of the cane. You know, you actually have to apply some physical sanctions in order to bring those children back into line. But and there's nothing wrong, in my view, with doing that. But for most people, the threat was enough. And now we've taken away that threat, and we've made it so that there's no shame in overstepping the boundaries. Then, of course, children will overstep the boundaries all the time, and the consequent breakdown of discipline is bad for everybody. And I think it's just one thing to be regretted in our educational system. But going back to what
Eric
we were talking,
Carl, don't mind me interjecting just there. Eric Carlson, it's good to see you, by the way, Eric. Thank you for being here this evening. It's gone way too far the other way now, Jeff. The kids just run riot in schools now, and that's Eric in the chat room. And I would agree with that, because we hear stories all the time that once you take away the discipline, as you say, the boundaries, there's no boundaries for the kids, so they do run riot. So the word running riot is basically not an out of phase word to use in that situation. But excuse me. But no, it's a very interesting issue to discuss. It there used to be the old saying. Do you remember, Tim? Spare the rod, you spoil the child. I suppose it holds as well in them days as it does now.
Well, it does. I mean, there are some things that never change, and human behaviour, you know, basic human behaviour is one thing that never changes. Well, I say never. Over the course of, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years, basic human behaviour hasn't changed very much at all. And what worked quite well in the 1950s would work just as well today. But taking away those sanctions because we're worried about causing harm to the poor children who receive the cane, I think has had a very detrimental effect on society as a whole. And of course, we've got liberals to blame for this. That they say all corporal punishment is wrong under any circumstances. Well, fine, but if you take away the ultimate threat of corporal punishment, you will get kids behaving far, far worse than they would have done if that threat had been there. And the phrase throwing the baby out with the bathwater comes to mind. Oh. They thought they would have they would make themselves feel nice and good and fluffy by doing away with all forms of corporal punishment, not realizing that it was part of the glue that held society together. So liberals have got a lot to answer for, in my opinion.
I agree.
But there we go.
I agree. Tim, I was going to say, I know we've got a caller. Frank, I know it's Frank. Frank, if you can hold on just for a second, because there's something we want to do, and this is in respect of what I talked about earlier, Kel being great as she, you know, stepping in when I had a problem this night, tonight calling in. So, Frank, I'll bring you straight on after we've played a tune, especially for Kel. This is it's a kind of magic, especially for you, Kel. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this. Kel, thank you, and I salute you. God bless you, Kel, for all that you do.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic. One dream, one soul, one prize, one gold, one golden glance of what should be.
Inside your
And of course, that tune goes out to Kel for all the work that she does, not for myself and the English Defence League radio show, but for Tim, for so many people that she helps. So that was a special thank you from everybody that's associated with you helping them, Kel. So thank you so much for that. So there you go. Oh, excuse me. I was going to say is we've got, also I've noticed in the chat room we've got Glenn. Good to see you in the chat room this evening, Glenn. And that just a bit of a heads up, guys. We have got a demonstration this Saturday, some regional demonstration. Hopefully we'll get some numbers on the streets in Grantham for this upcoming Saturday. So there you go. If you're not too sure about travel arrangements or whatever, you're still wanting to go and not sure, get in touch with your local Waros, and of course they will let you know exactly what's what. Okay, so there you go. And I know people. I know our Tommy. I'm not sure he's going or not, though. Is he? Kel? I can't think if he's going or not. I think he might be, but we'll find out a little bit later on. So anyway,
just before you bring Frank on, just to let you know that I have the Grantham demo clip. Anytime you want me to play it, just let me know.
Okay. What we're going to do is we'll bring Frank on. We'll have a quick chat with Frank, and then we'll play the Grantham, Martin and the Grantham promo, probably about 20 past 9. Okay, Kel? About 20 past 9, our time, the UK
sure.
time.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for giving me a heads up on that as well. Really appreciate it. And this is what I say, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I mean. Kel is bang up there. She's got everything involved. When we're talking about Grantham, she's got that promo ready to go. So thank you, Kel. With that, I'm going to bring... I know you've been waiting a little time there, Frank, but it's always good to talk to you. And welcome to the show. Good evening, Frank.
Evening, Jeff, Kel, Tim.
Yeah, hi, Frank.
By the way, I'm glad to hear that you've managed to... Tim, I'm glad to hear that you've managed to postpone your case
until
the better word comes up.
Thank you, Frank. It's worked out well. So it's allowed me to do things which the prosecution would have wanted me not to do. So I won't go into it now.
They just wanted to rush it through, didn't they, Tim?
Sorry?
They just wanted to rush it through, didn't they?
Oh, yeah,
it's like anybody. You are allowed your defence and you're allowed to have your day. And they didn't want you to have that. But
you've
won a battle there, Tim. You've won a battle there.
It's a small start. I'm looking forward to my day in court. So thanks very much, Jeff. And you too.
Yeah, you can tell what's happened. They've opened a can of worms and now they're trying to get the lid back on it because they didn't realise. They thought they were going to have an easy shot.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, there you go. And Tim's not going to back off either. Not Tim, are you, mate?
No, there's no way I'm backing off from this. And I'm taking it as far as I possibly can because it's much more than a little harassment charge. It goes right to the heart of what it means to have free speech in our democracy and what it means for Muslims to use taqiyya when they deceive us. So that is all going to come out in the open.
Of course, it puts the freedom of speech under the spotlight, definitely.
It does, yeah.
This case highlights freedom of speech and, of course, the word taqiyya, which some people might be just tuning in to the show this evening and might not be too sure. Tim, I was wondering if you could just give me a little rundown of just that word taqiyya. I know there's Kipman and all that, but maybe just the word of taqiyya for our listeners, some who might be just tuning in this evening.
Oh, yeah, certainly, Jeff. Well, taqiyya is one form of deception in Islam. What you have to realize with Islam is that Muslims have elevated they've elevated deception to an art form. And there are actually several forms of lying and deception in Islam, which I won't go into in too much detail. There's Tawriya, there's Maruna, there's Kitman, and the most important one from my point of view anyway is taqiyya. Now, taqiyya means to tell a lie where the telling of the truth will not achieve the goal that you wish to achieve. It has to be a permissible goal, such as far as Islam is concerned anyway, it has to be a permissible goal, such as promoting the cause of Islam or preventing the denigration of Islam. Now, that's important because if the goal is not permissible, then the lying itself is not permissible. But if you're talking about promoting Islam or preventing its denigration, then lying is permissible. Now, the reason that's important is in our civilization, in Judeo-Christian civilization, telling a lie is a sin. And even if it's only a little white lie, if you are a devout Christian, you are going to be frowned on by God for telling that lie. And that's why we have the process, when you're in a court of law, of swearing on a Bible. Because the idea is to bring it home to you that if you should tell a lie when you swear on the Bible, it's a very, very serious thing. Not just in the court where you could be fined for, not contempt of court, perjury. That's the word. You could be fined for perjury. But it's also a serious sin in the eyes of God. Well, the difference is in Islam, Muslims don't look on it in quite the same way. You are allowed to lie if the goal is permissible, as I've said. And when you do lie, if the goal is permissible, then Allah will smile on you. It's not considered to be a sin in the eyes of Allah. So a Muslim could, in theory, swear an oath on the Quran in court and then tell a lie as soon as he's done it, providing the goal is permissible. So the swearing on the Quran in court, which our courts seem to think is a good idea, is actually a load of BS, because Muslims are allowed to lie in the sight of Allah, and swearing on the Quran means nothing in that context. And
so,
when you're talking about,
if you don't mind me just interjecting, just to say so. Mendacious grievance mongering taqiyya artist really should be worn as a mark of honour, then. Should wear that
indeed,
as a mark of honour, shouldn't they?
Indeed. Now, I'm sure one or two of our listeners may well have heard the phrase mendacious grievance mongering taqiyya artist.
And if you haven't, where have you been?
Where have you been in the last couple of months? Because that phrase seems to have gone round the world. It is a phrase, of course, that I used when I was describing a certain Fiyaz Mughal, the director of Tell Mama. I called him a mendacious grievance mongering taqiyya artist. He didn't like it. He trotted down to his local police station and he had me arrested and charged. Now,
he's a bad Muslim, because a good Muslim would think it's a badge of honour.
Well, he took offence, and of course we all know what happens when Muslims take offence. It's out on the streets, Allahu Akbar, and get the machetes out. But, you know, he was a bit more civilised about it. I suppose that's something to be thankful for. And he
might have gone home and battered his wife, though, Tim, knowing, you know, that that's allowed. You never know.
Well, the thing is, I don't think that he thought I was harassing him. I don't think any reasonable person would think that what I did by sending him a tweet of that nature was harassment. However, as he couldn't arrest me for just causing offence, he decided to present it to his pet police officers, and they decided that they were going to, as they had formed...
The Sharia patrol come after you, didn't
well,
they, Tim?
Not, well, it wasn't quite the Sharia patrol, but the thing about the police forces in this country is that they are thoroughly compromised, because a lot of them have formed partnerships with Tell Mama UK, of which Fiaz Magal is a director, in order to promote diversity throughout the police forces in the country, so they're completely compromised. So when somebody like Fiaz Magal, the director of Tell Mama UK, says, I want something done about this, they all go, yes, sir, we'll jump to it straight away, sir, don't you worry. And sure enough, they sent round a couple of West Midlands finest to my doorstep, and they invited me in for a cup of tea, and they said, right, we're going to charge you with racially aggravated harassment for sending these tweets. Well, okay, they couldn't charge me with just being slightly offensive, because that charge would never have got anywhere. So they felt that harassment was the best possible alternative. But I intend to prove in court on April the 8th that in fact that was actually a bad choice, and that I'm going to get the case kicked out of court. But what I hope is not before I have highlighted the use of taqiyya by Muslims to deceive the rest of us, and that's a very, very important issue that I want to get out in court before they actually acquit me and throw the case out.
And it is so important that this is definitely going to be under a spotlight, isn't it? Exactly what we, well, basically what you achieved there, Tim, is that a whole world is watching and very closely to how this case goes and what the ruling will be at the end of it.
Because I know that
you are not just going to, if they find you guilty on it, you're not just going to leave it like that.
Oh, no.
He's not going to leave it like that. He's going to appeal against it, because that's what you said before.
Yeah,
show,
well,
you,
I mean, there's a couple of interesting things here, which is if I get a load of politically correct magistrates, and I think it was Eric Kyle that put a note in the chat room saying that he's done some research and that 85% of the magistrates in Birmingham are Muslim. If that is the case, then, you know, I might be found guilty. But if I'm found guilty, I can appeal the case to Crown Court. So it's not a huge problem to be found guilty. And if I get the chance to appeal the case to Crown Court, for our cause, that is actually a very good thing, because if you hear a case in Crown Court and a judge agrees with your assessment of what taqiyya is and how it's used by Muslims and the way it affects relationships and trust between Muslims and non-Muslims, that could actually set a legal precedent. Now, if once we get into
as
that,
long as they're not politically correct in their views,
yeah,
though,
but,
that's
well,
the thing,
yes,
that we've got to take.
When it gets to Crown Court level, it's not just the judge that you're appealing to. You're appealing to, in theory, 12 good men and true. Now, all right, if you end up with 12 Muslims, you're going to be stuffed anyway. But, you know, on the assumption that it isn't 12 Muslims and you have a chance to present your case and they look at it in a reasonable manner, there is every chance that we could actually set a legal precedent for this. Now, if we were to do that, that would be really, really groundbreaking stuff. What I think is that once the prosecution realise that that is what is at stake, they may decide that the best course of action is to withdraw gracefully, and we won't get the chance to air it as much as we would like in the higher levels of the British judicial system, which in some ways would be a shame. I mean, I'm personally not bothered. If I'm convicted, that doesn't personally bother me. But I would like a chance to actually get this particular subject aired and given great amounts of publicity, if I possibly can, before April the 8th.
Well, I think you've already done that already. I mean, so many people were talking about the situation, Tim. People, you know, from as far as America, Canada, Australia, people were talking,
you know, wherever they might be, that there's not too many people that haven't heard about the case that's coming up, but which has been deferred to, I think it's April the 8th, isn't it?
It's been remanded till April 8th, and I've been putting the link in the chat room for people, courtesy of Liberty GB.
Tim is
the host of as well. And ladies and gentlemen, Tim's case, this is unprecedented in that it has reached international attention within the counter-jihadist movement globally. As a matter of fact, Tim has a person who wants to have a chat with him on Tuesday at Freedom Loving Infidels, and that's Wild Bill for America. We have spoken with Pamela Geller, Robert Spencer, Dr. Bill Warner. Everybody has a vested interest in this case. We are literally sitting on the edges of our seats to see how this develops. And one thing, Tim, that I want to share with you in particular is that if this case is dropped, it would be almost disappointing, but if it is dropped, you should countersue.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Kel, because it's not a civil case where you're talking about libel and defamation, although there is the possibility that I could come back and claim for... Well, I think there is a process that you can claim for wrongful arrest. I don't know if that's the best course of action. But the most interesting thing is that when the case was being put together, there were certain things that were put on the police statement by Mr. McGall, which are in fact going to be worthy of highlighting in the court, which are quite separate from the charge that was brought against me. Now, if Mr. McGall actually realizes what he has done, he might well decide that discretion is the better part of valor and drop the case. But if it comes to court, he might find that he's actually got a few surprises coming his way. I can't really go into too much more detail before the case. My solicitor has advised me to play my cards fairly close to my chest on this. But nevertheless, if the case does come to court, anybody who's in the Birmingham area should, if they have a day to spare, buy some popcorn, come and sit at the back of the court and have a jolly good day out, because there are going to be some fireworks, I'll promise you that. And if anybody has the opportunity to donate to my defence fund as well, that would be extremely helpful, because we are incurring some costs, win or lose, incurring costs in this case. So anything that you can spare and you can help with, please go to the Liberty GB website and donate to my defence fund if you can. But that aside,
how's it doing, by the way?
Very interesting day out.
How's the fund doing so far? Is it picking up speed?
Yes, I've had some
well,
people
actually,
who
yeah,
have
it is.
Out from
and
around the world.
It is.
Sorry.
It's picking up a lot of speed. And I'm sorry, I'm just interjecting because I just want to inform people that, yes, Tim Burton's case is being not only are people paying attention to it globally, but what is going on is that people are actually contributing to Tim Burton's Defense League. Ladies and gentlemen, when these things happen, what goes on is that the litigant usually is pretty well financially protected, but Tim Burton is on his own. He does not have the padding of Tell Mama like Fayez McGall has. Tim is doing this completely on his own. He had to hire his own lawyer, and this is costing Tim a lot of money, and this is another thing. This is legal jihad. This is what you're witnessing right now, legal jihad. Tim?
Yeah, it's certainly the case, Kel. You're absolutely right in that the process is the punishment almost, because as you say, I don't have the padding that Fayez McGall has. He's certainly got a lot of padding, as we know from having seen pictures of him. But yeah, it's
he's only shown from the neck up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, some of the pictures I've seen, I mean, the jowls that he's got wouldn't disgrace a basset hound, to be honest. But anyway, leaving that aside, leaving aside personal abuse, it's true that when somebody brings a case like this, the plaintiff incurs virtually no cost at all, and the defendant actually incurs quite a lot of cost to try and defend themselves. And so it is in my case, in that I have to pay for my defence. I mean, I have had a lot of support from people who've said that they will help me out, and I have some offers for expert witnesses should I need to call on them on the day. But certainly anything that you can help out with as far as the defence fund is concerned would be very much appreciated, because, yeah, it's unfortunate. It's one of those things about the British legal system and the way it works. And if somebody decides they're going to bring a case like this against you, then it has a cost. And if you are in a position to help out, I would certainly appreciate it a great deal. So thank you very much, Kel, for highlighting that for me.
Absolutely. And Jeff, I was just wondering, you're due for a break so that you can call back in. And what seeing, I'm technically the host tonight. Oh, my goodness. I have the power. Oh, baby. But we do have the Grantham demo coming up on February 22nd. And our dear friend Martin Hive put this YouTube clip together for everybody. So I'm going to play it right now, and we'll see everybody back here in 3 minutes.
Britain's politicians, who control the mainstream media and groups like the UAF, accuse the English Defence League of being far-right extremists who want to divide communities. But what will be taught to Muslims in the new Grantham Islamic Centre in the heart of Britain? O ye who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. They are friends of each other. Muslims that make friends with disbelievers will face a doom prepared for them by Allah. O ye who believe, fight the infidels that are near to you, and let them find in you hardness. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore strike off their heads, and strike off every fingertip of them. And fight with the infidels until there are no more. These verses from the Quran are being taught to Muslim children and are being read and preached to Muslims in every mosque in this country. And what are Britain's politicians doing about this? Nothing. Our politicians would have you believe that these verses from the Quran have nothing to do with Muslim terrorism. If we don't stop this, no one will.
We're coming down the road.
Well, there you go. And we are back live again on the English Defence League radio show. Oh, I've got an echo.
Oh, you've got an
okay,
echo.
Okay, I'm going to call back in. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but it is really annoying for everybody else.
I can't hear it, mate. Oh, yeah, now I can.
Tommy, how are you?
Dying.
Uh-oh.
Got an echo from you too.
Echo.
No, I can't hear it. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, Frank.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just saying, you know, I can't hear any echo.
There's an echo.
Anyway, mate, how are you doing?
I've got in some work this very minute.
Oh, right.
Okay. What has to happen, Tommy? Can you call back in?
Oh, yeah, you're breaking up now, mate. Anyway, Kel.
Hey, Frank.
Sorry to you. I don't know, Anne, but I was catching up on the chat. I don't seem to be able to do both of them at the same time. But anyway, I was catching up on the chat and I heard about Anne. I don't know her, but I think, you know, I'll send her my best. And I hope she gets better.
Oh, Frank.
Yeah,
Thank you so very much. Oh, okay. I'm still getting an echo. I'm going to hang up myself and call back in.
What, you're going to leave me with it? Oh, blimey. Tim, you're still
here. I'm still here, Frank. Don't you worry,
mate.
I'm back. Oh, it's okay, then. Yeah.
Right, how are we doing for echoes now? Jeff?
Have you got an echo from me?
No, it's all fine. So when Kel calls back in, hopefully the problem is going to be solved. Well, that's great. That all sounds all right now.
That's loud and clear from this end as well, both of you.
Oh, lovely. So, as I say, I was just experienced, because when I called back in, there was a slight echo, and it cut me off, actually. It actually cut me off. I don't know if it was BT or whatever it was, but... my apologies.
I'm sure we're getting hacked because, I mean, quite often I can't listen to you online because it just keeps buffering and cutting out. So I have to, even to listen, I have to Skype in. And then it all goes, I mean, just now my screen just froze and I had to press the off button and sit on it for 10 minutes and then before it would shut my laptop off and start all over again. I think we connect. I think somebody's having a
crisis. There could be some certain problems that we've been getting.
Hi. I think the echo is gone now. It might have been my end. So, gentlemen, I deeply apologize.
No, you didn't do it. You didn't do it. It was him, I thought.
Yeah. But Frank, I did not leave you. I would never leave Frank. But Frank, just to get back to your query about Anne Vanderleest, she is quite a contributor to all the Blog Talk Radio programs, in particular Radio Jihad Network, in that she gets them posted on whether it be Twitter or whether it be Facebook. Anne has been with us for quite a number of years, and she fell ill, and she's in the hospital right now, and she is on life support. She's not breathing on her own, and there is no brain activity at this point. Sitting here, and I'm just waiting for words. So, Frank, I want to thank you very much for asking me about her. I have my Skype on right now, and I'm just waiting for any words to come in.
Was it an accident or an illness or what?
Oh, yeah. She was fine one day. What happened is that she has a caregiver, and the caregiver went in to check up on her because she's bedridden, and she had stopped breathing, and the caregiver engaged in CPR, and, of course, the ambulance came, and But the status as it is at this point is that, yeah, she's in ICU, and I'm just waiting for any updates.
Well, what can we say? All our thoughts and prayers go out to Anne, dear Anne, and a family. It's probably very, very concerned with the situation. But as you say, these things just happen, don't they, Kel?
Well, if you get to speak to her, Kel, if you get to speak to her, tell her that everybody's vowed that whatever work she's done, it ain't going to go to waste. We're not going to leave it. Just sorry she's sorry she might not be here to see the victory party. Then again, I'm 65. I might not either.
She knows. She feels the love. She definitely feels the love. She knows that her BTR family loves her so very much and that we're all here for her. And, Frank, I will especially let her know of your conveyance. Absolutely, Frank.
Brilliant. Thanks.
Yeah, it's always a worrying time. Especially when we hear of some of our dear friends who we got to know very well over the time we've been with BTR, especially yourself, Kel. Anne's become a very close friend of yours as well, isn't she? So, and like a lot of us, she's one of the people that works tirelessly in the background as well, isn't she? So it's very, very sad at this moment in time that we can just hope that... you know, our thoughts and prayers, you know, it's just like we've been told before, thoughts and prayers go a long way. You know, people do make recoveries. So, you know, that's all we can hope for with Anne. But, thanks for giving us an update anyway, Kel. And so we will be thinking of Anne, you know, till we hear better news, you know. but as I say... coming up this Saturday, there's a demonstration. There's been a bit controversy about it. There's this other group of people, the UAF, decided to cause problems where there was only be a few police to manage the English defence. We don't need a lot of people to manage us. Going and demonstrating somewhere, peacefully protesting. But it seems that the police have got to call in extra numbers because the UAF decide that they want, you know, confrontation, that they want
all
to be there.
All 10 of them.
All 10 of them, yeah. Yeah. Tommy, I've got to welcome you to the show here, brother.
The covers don't actually serve in protecting us, although they'd say so. I mean, if any of them silly buggers ever did manage to get through, they'd realise it was a cop was protecting them.
No, Frank, as soon as they get through to us, they'll realise it's a bad mistake and they'll run away.
A very bad mistake.
Well, it's quite obvious. I mean, they just act like, you know, they're all right when they see about 20 or 30, all running... running to meet up with us all, and all of a sudden the police are not there, and then they think, oh dear, and you know, the people that they're going to be opposing,
they're
going to stand there and let the crap be kicked out of them, are they, Tommy? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, but there is a new group that has just been formed.
Oh, really? Go ahead.
Called the Anti-Fascist Network.
Oh,
did you see them? They had their first demo at SAR. They were stood separate from the UAF, black hoodies, black face masks, completely dressed in black, shouted, attacker, attacker, anti-fascista. I'm thinking, right, interesting. But if you see their video for Grantham, you see them kicking somebody's car. I'm thinking, yeah, it's going to be a great public image for you guys, isn't it?
I don't think they worry about public image, these people. They're all dressed in black. They all cover their face, so they don't care. They would cause as much disruption. And you know, they're very, very much antisocial. They're very much anti-establishment. And it's quite obvious they want to kick up as much fuss as they probably can, possibly can, because they're all dressed in black. As you've seen them, Tom, we've seen them all over the place, all in black, haven't they? They've got these black face masks on,
that is
you know,
Jeff.
And that's to cover their
identity. Ironic. I want to say to us, very ironically, you probably all get a bit of a giggle out of this, you can also take it next time you argue with the lefty. When you look at the Antifa and the anti-fascist logo, it's a red flag and a black flag next to each other. And it says, in a circle, that says anti-fascista. Now, when you look at the logo from the Nazi party, it has the swastika and the German flag flying next to each other in a circle saying National Socialist Party. Oh, the irony.
Yeah, definitely.
I was going
good
to
point,
ask...
isn't it, Tim, there?
Yeah. Ironic.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if they actually told us what their definition of fascism is. Because so many people against it, and they're beating each other up as well. So, I mean, what is this bloody fascism after all?
Frank, at Doncaster last year, when I said to one of them, can you tell me what a fascist is? And he goes, you're a fascist. I went, no, I'm an example of what you think is a fascist, but what is the meaning of the word?
Yeah, I remember that. There's a cartoon thing about it, and they just keep calling you a fascist, you're this and that, aren't they? Because they got no substantial back.
Is Kel still here?
Sorry?
Is Kel still in? Are you in the studio,
Jeff?
Yes.
Oh, Kel, go into the studio and find interview with UAF Skull, I think it's called. I think that's the cartoon.
Oh, yes, Kel, we've got to play that. That's,
what
that's
are the
hilarious.
First three letters? So I can use it as a keyword.
INT. I think it's called Interview with UAF.
IAT?
INT, yeah.
INT.
India November Tango.
Oh, you little bum. It's not showing up.
Oh, where's it gone? We'll have to find it. I'll have to put it back in the studio. Oh, the way how it starts off as well. Hello and welcome. My name is Islamophobe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know which way you mean now. It's something, yeah, we've discussed it. So it's right there. We can find that clip. We've got to play it, haven't we? And I'm just going down there. I know we've got it there somewhere. Let's have a look. Yeah, carry on talking, guys. I'm going down the list to see if it's great. It's not been taken out, has it?
Oh, we...
We'll find it, guys. We'll find it.
Yeah. Fascism's gone the same way as racism now. It's just meaningless words. It's just get out of jail free card when your brain's gone dead.
You know, right, I am going to make a US version of Monopoly. No, but basically an Islamic version of Monopoly. It will say... you have been convicted of preaching Sharia on the streets of London. Do you want to play your race card?
Yeah, very good, Tommy. All right, that would do really well.
Very good.
I think we're getting something like that in the making. Islamic board game, Islamic Monopoly. Do you wish to play your Zakat?
Yeah, exactly.
Zakat.
Jizya. Yeah. Islamic Monopoly is when they've got the whole place, including the community chess, rigged. And that's it. You're just forced to go round and round and keep throwing the dice and till you disappear up your own backside.
Yeah.
At least with our version, we can clear the ball, put it back in a box and go on and get on with something else.
Yeah, the Monopoly I play, you put hotels down, and these guys will be going, oh, I've now got all the four areas of Bradford, I will now build my mosque.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, Tommy, I've got a house on Park Lane. Now then, do I turn it into a hotel, or do I rent it out to a Somali family for £2,000 a week?
Yeah, and put a full food stall out in the front and block the pavement.
Yeah. That's
well,
right.
I can just imagine it now, guys. Right, 1, 2, 3, 4. Ooh, chance. A mosque has been built in your local area. English Defence League protest. Give £200 to the bank.
and the little metal tokens that you move around the board. You know, you got a dog and a top hat and a Romanian beggar and a woman in a burqa. Yeah, brilliant. We could do all that. I reckon that would make a really, really good alternative Monopoly game, Tommy.
Well, with something Matt can definitely do in the making. We'll start on that. You know, we'll make Tower Hamlets the Park Lane, and we'll obviously, you know, get out of jail. Well, sorry, go to jail on every three blocks, because we all know that these radicals will end up there one day, sooner or later.
Yeah.
Silence! I kill you!
Oh, bloody hell, he's got in the door again. Kick him out, Tom.
Oh, he's here again? Oh, for crying out loud. Hang on, Jeff, I'm on it. Hang on.
Ahmed,
get out of the studio and quit leaving a mess.
It. Kelly, it's too late. He's built his corner shop in the corner of the room.
You know what? I'm going to get my stun gun out next time, gentlemen.
Oh,
I am
yes.
so sick of this Ahmed showing up all the time. God, all he does, and like Jeff says, he does not even take off his sandals, and he leaves the carpet full of sand, and he leaves his coffee cups and ashtrays all over the bloody place. I'm sick and tired of cleaning up after him.
He makes such a bloody mess, he does. He really does. I can't tell me that clip. I've gone right down. I can't see it, Sam. I can't see it there.
Oh, Kelly, how did it kick you on our Facebook? Were you were in the studio for us?
I've just looked down. Kelly, have you looked down the list as well? I've gone right away from the bottom to the top, and I can't see. I might have just gone past it. I was trying to go as slow as possibly, but never mind. I'm sure that we'll try to pick that up. It could be then. I've just gone past it and same with
I was going to say, Jeff,
well, you have, like, I hate to
got
say this, gentlemen,
in there,
but
and
you
gentlemen.
Guys have, like, five, 6 pages of stuff here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've always got something that we apply on, whatever. That's it. Over the time, you know it's like, Kel and Tim, it soon builds. When you've got a little clip here, a little clip there, and you think, well, it's one of those that we can sort of maybe play even later on in time. It's one of those things that you can do.
Kel, I'm going to inbox
you on
Facebook.
Kel, it builds, doesn't it?
What's that, Tommy?
I'll inbox you on Facebook. I've got it now.
Oh, okay. I was just, you know what, Tommy? You're a man that is a mind reader. I was just going to ask you to send me that MP3 so I can load it.
It's on my favourites.
Okay.
So, yeah, what was going to say? Oh, I've lost track of what I was saying there because I was sort of going down the list there. But, no, interesting what we've just been discussing there. So what other news do we want? We were talking about something else earlier. It's totally slipped my mind.
Well, there is something I wanted to bring up. I don't know if you've touched on it already. Did we manage to get round to discussing those packages that we're doing to those army barracks around the south, east and west?
No.
Yeah, some army lorries got blown up in Bristol.
Oh, yeah, they set fire to them, didn't they, the Marines?
Yeah, they got blown up in the barracks, didn't they?
Yeah,
this was... when was it? It was on Thursday or Friday, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember seeing it. I don't know, everybody ran away, and I don't know if there's anything else has happened since, but the police were making inquiries now.
Yeah, apparently... the anti-fascist network are actually claiming responsibility for blowing up these trucks.
Oh. Well, do you know what? I don't know so much whether that is just, whether that's just the case or not. But don't forget, there was just a couple of days ago, or yesterday, there was some breaking news about some suspected packages have been sent, which they class as being the RA. So
yeah, I did hear about
so
that.
So let's get things in a proper perspective. Well, you know, some of these groups out there will claim anything. They'll claim that they've been to the moon and back and this, that and the other just to make a name for themselves. Let's be honest,
so,
Tom.
It's no coincidence, Jeff, that the IRA used to be known as Bog Arabs.
Ah. So, good point.
They're all in the same firm, I think. just a, you know, different franchise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we mustn't forget there was even going back quite a few years ago now, that there was actually footage of them actually training some of these terrorists there, Al-Qaeda. And this was a part of the IRA faction that had gone over to train these people in how to use it.
Gaddafi funded the IRA.
But the thing is, though, when they asked him about it, he didn't even give him a straight answer, did he? He just laughed at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just saying, there's a lot, there's a lot, but as I say, we, you know, I always look at it this way, a terrorist is a terrorist is a terrorist, and it doesn't matter what, where they come from. If they're there to try to harm people, to, you know, harm innocent people going about their business, as far as I'm concerned, they're terrorists. And should always be named as terrorists, no matter what. No matter what their cause is, there's no, it doesn't give them any justice to go out there killing people, blowing people up, kneecapping people, just to better their cause. And I don't care who they are, but that's where I stand. It's just my own personal views, and probably, Frank, you probably feel that way as well, that a terrorist is a terrorist no matter what.
Forget the terrorist bit. Let's leave the politics out of it. I just realised.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just call them murderers and bang them up or hang them.
Well, and just to let you know, Jeff and Tommy, I have your clip. Anytime you want me to play it.
Yes, let's play it.
Excellent. Well, Cal, what can I say? She's absolutely fantastic. So, yes, please, Cal. Yeah, we wish to... Maybe just go over a little bit. Yeah, we're just discussing what it's like to actually be in a conversation with one of these lefties who keep calling you fascist, so and racist and that. So, yes, please, Kel, when you're ready.
Okay, I'll play it right now.
Hello and welcome. My name is Islamophobe. Today I'm joined in the studio by a member of the Unite Against Fascism movement. Unfortunately, he took too much acid on the way over and forgot his name. So we have agreed to call him Tree Hugger. Welcome, Tree Hugger.
Thank you for having me.
I would like to start by thanking you for washing. However, changing into clean clothes would have been a good idea, as you still smell quite pungent. So, Tree Hugger, as a member of the UAF, what exactly do you stand for?
The UAF will always stand against the fascist DDL and BNP.
Anything else?
We oppose racists and intend to stop the Nazi BNP and DDL practicing their rights to free speech.
Okay, Tree Hugger, can you tell me the meaning of the word fascist?
The EDL are fascists and we will silence them.
I'm sorry, the EDL is an example of what you think are fascist. But what is the meaning of the word?
I am not sure, but we will silence the fascist EDL wherever they go.
So you are against fascism, but do not know what a fascist is?
The EDL are fascist and we will oppose them.
I can see we are getting nowhere here. Can I ask Tree Hugger, what do you say about the EDL having active members from all races? How then can they be racist?
That is a lie. They paint the faces of white people so they look black.
That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Why would you even think that?
Wayman Bennett said so it must be true.
I'm sorry, but Wayman Bennett has the morals and integrity of a freshly laid dog turd on a public playing field, so I would not put much stock in what he has to say.
You are a racist.
Why do you say that?
Because Wayman Bennett is black and you insulted him.
I insulted his moral standing, not the color of his skin. As well as not knowing what a fascist is, it seems you do not know what a racist is either. The EDL protest against the Islamification of Britain, and against extremists protesting against British laws and British troops. Can I ask you, Tree Hugger, why it is that the UAF do not counter-protest Muslim extremists?
Muslims are a peaceful, misunderstood people who have the right to protest.
Don't the EDL have the same right to protest?
No, the EDL are fascist, and we will oppose fascism wherever we find it.
Moving on then, Tree Hugger. I notice on the signatories of the UAF charter there are several prominent MPs.
That is correct. We have people like Tony Benn, Ken Livingstone and David Cameron amongst others.
You seem quite proud of that.
We are, as it adds a validity to our crusade against the fascist EDL and Nazi BNP.
So basically you are a government-funded mob, out to silence those who oppose the government's immigration policies. I seem to recall a certain Mr. Hitler using these tactics.
You are a Nazi.
Excuse me, tree hugger, but how do you come to that conclusion?
You said Hitler, so you are a Nazi.
The point I was making is in Nazi Germany the people who opposed the government's fascist regime were not the Nazis, but the people in power and their bully boy henchmen were the Nazis. The UAF bear more resemblance to Nazis than the EDL or the BNP.
We are not the Nazis, we stand side by side with our Muslim brothers.
While we are on the subject of Nazis, can I ask if you have read Adolf Hitler's book Mein Kampf?
No, it is a piece of anti-Semitic propaganda.
Well, you say you stand side by side with your Muslim brothers as you have said, yet the Quran has more anti-Semitism in it than Mein Kampf. Does that mean you stand side by side as fellow Nazis? Well, as it appears, a combination of LSD and the truth has fried the brain of tree hugger all that is left. It's for me to sum up. I think it is safe to say that we have learned that the supporters of the UAF are ill-informed, uneducated and hygienic tree-hugging Nazis who would not know their ass from their elbow, even if they were labeled. Thank you for watching. EDL. No surrender.
No surrender.
No surrender.
That's really clever.
It's very
I
well
like
made.
That. It's really clever.
Oh, man, I had to mute myself. I had to mute myself. That was... Oh, brilliant. I was in stitches.
But the thing is, I mean, you can't be complacent, guys. This is what they like. Anything you say is it's always fascist EDL, racist EDL.
That's how they act, isn't it? Just like that. Ladies and gentlemen, you might have thought that this is just a bit of humour. But basically, this conversation, when you have one of these people, that's the sort of conversation that you will have. You know, it doesn't matter what you say, they will keep on saying that you're a racist, you're a fascist, and that is the way that things go with these people. You can't have, you can't engage with these type of people. You see what happened to Tommy Robinson. Do you remember just when Tommy Robinson, it was like a kangaroo court sort of thing, it was just full of UAF and all that in that studio at the time. And they wouldn't let him say anything. They just kept calling him, you're just a racist, you're just a racist. Didn't have no foundation for what she was saying. And she was like, you know, an oity-toity and just didn't know exactly how to engage on the conversation that Tommy wanted to put over. And we saw that. A whole world see the way that these people are. So when we play clips like that, people laugh because that is basically how it goes. That's right, isn't it, guys?
Yeah. Oh, yes. You are a Nazi. Oh, but how am I a Nazi? Because she said Hitler. So that means you're a Nazi.
It's a typical mindset of these people.
Do you remember that bit where she said, well, they don't attack and threaten me because I'm a nice person? Do you remember that bit?
Oh, I'll remember. I do.
Oh, for God's sake. That's it. That's as far as you get. You get to their bottom line and that's all you get. More mud and mush. There's no bottom to them.
Exactly.
Just...
I was going to say, I know Kel was having a chat to someone who'd been sitting there patiently for a little while. Was the person ready to come onto the show, Kel?
He does, and his name is Paractors, and he has a differing opinion, Jeff, and I will bring him on air right now for you.
Thank you, Kel. Go ahead, Paractors. What a great nickname you have there. And you have a differing opinion.
That's the name, yes. I was just saying, you know, I mean, what's your overall argument with the Muslims? Because, you know, I live in the UK as well. I don't really see the Muslims as a problem, you see.
So where do you live now, then? You say you don't live in the UK now. So where do you live now?
I live in the UK, I mean to say, if I said that. Yeah, I live in the UK. I live in London.
In London.
Yeah, what part of London do you live?
Lewisham.
Just up the road from Croydon. You know, you're right in the thick of it, aren't you? Yeah.
Well,
how'd you do, mate? My name's Fred.
yeah. How do you do?
Well, go on. You want to? You've got an opposite opinion to most of us on the show this evening. So go ahead. Your views. You think everything's fine? Yeah.
I don't think everything's fine. There's no way. It's the government. But I mean to say, the Muslims, you know, I don't see them trying to take over the place. I mean, they use their own initiative and they set up their own businesses. Yes, granted, they own all the shops, most of the shops on the corner, on the street. You know, they own most of the businesses. I see that. But at the end of the day, they're just using their own initiative.
Basically, those Muslims who go around East London, saying Muslims ride up established the caliphate. And those Muslims who go around blowing up underground tube stations and buses are using their initiative. And those who go around saying this is a gay-free area, non-Muslims are allowed here, no drink around here, we're going to lash you. Is that Muslims using their own initiative?
Yeah, I suppose it is, really. Yeah,
No, hold on. You were bringing up... No, everything that you say is singular. You can only name me, like, a few examples of them doing that now. We know that the British
government... Oh, there was a hundred of examples of them doing this. We've got over 40 years worth of examples of them doing that.
Well, I only know about one bombing in the UK.
One bombing?
Excuse me, poor actors. We saw in our own eyes a soldier being run down by two Muslims who quoted from the Quran. Would you mean there's just one thing go on? That was what we saw. The world see that man being run down and then being butchered, had his head sawn off. So you tell me that's just odd things going on when they're quoting verses from the Quran, and you think that's okay, do you? And that there's of that to come, they say. You say, oh, I'm okay, it doesn't affect me. So that didn't have no effect on you when you saw that soldier lying in the street dead, being butchered by two Muslims. That didn't bother you, no?
Well, I don't like no wickedness. I don't like no evil, right? I'm just trying to say that when Britain are going across the world, like, we don't get to see a lot of the war footage and the things that they're doing. Like they're having big shootouts.
Oh, here we go! It's all the British soldiers.
Yeah,
like,
well, put it this way, it's got nothing to do. With what's going on, what we see on our streets, when we see people blown to smithereens on our underground, we see buses blown up, and then we see martyrdom tapes of these people. What do you expect? Yes, we know there are peaceful Muslims out there. We know a lot of Muslims are okay. Some of them are really good people, but we got quite a few of them out there who would blow you to smithereens, would blow me to smithereens, and our families given after chance. And if it wasn't for MI5, MI6, and the special services that we got around the country, that would be the case. So all this, yes, we know there's good Muslims out there, and we do not say anything about those people because, you know, they're fine people of our citizens. But that some of them people out there who want to kill us and want to cause mayhem on this country and bring a caliphate into this country, Sharia law will never take part in this country, never happen in this country, because people like myself, like Tommy, people like Tim,
what we should do, because we're down to our last 20 minutes, is that I think it would be rather interesting for poor actor to finish his point.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm on the radio now.
We're having a good conversation here, right? So you might as well just leave me alone, you know, because we're having a good conversation, and I like this conversation that we're having, right? I'm from the UK, I'm a black man from London, right? So I'm not a Muslim or anything, but I'm just saying I don't see it, you know, because like you said, I'm in the thick of things, and I don't see it.
Well, I come from Lewisham as well. I know exactly where you come from, mate. I was born and bred round there.
Because you're too scared to see the problem. You're scared to be called a racist.
Gentlemen, please, could I ask you something?
and I'm not white. So I have to, I'm
colour
has
nothing to do with it.
I'm scared to call someone a racist or scared to think I'm racist. I'm black. I ain't got no problem. You know, if you do something wrong to me, then, you know, I'm going to do something wrong to you. You know, I ain't got no problem. I ain't scared of anything, you know, to say, well, if that person's racist, I'll call you a racist if I think you're racist. I'm just trying to say that I don't see the Muslims, like I said, the Asians, I don't see them doing that. You brought up the Lee Rugby thing, right?
Don't you do nothing. That's British way, mate. You don't get out much, then, do you?
Oh, okay,
you
okay. I'm interjecting here. Gentlemen, can you please, you're speaking all over yourself, and a poor actor called in good faith, and I think that it's only fair that there be a one-on-one exchange, and that be between Jeff and poor actor. So the rest of the gentlemen, can you please hold your counsel?
Down, Tommy, down.
thank you, Kel, for that. Poor actor. So what I'm saying is there's people in some parts of the country, especially around the east end, which are, they got all sorts of threats, you know, especially the gay community. There used to be, and Tommy would tell me, there used to be about 16, 17 gay bars. And the Muslims decided that they don't want gays on their doorstep, and they've hounded them out. They've threatened, they beat them. They've gone into bars and beat them with baseball bats and this, that, and the other. This is what we got. We get Sharia stickers going up. This is a Sharia zone. Don't come here. This is Muslim area. You don't come near our mosque. We're Muslims. You have got no place here. So you think that we, with the English Defence League, are going to stand by and watch this sort of things happen? We will oppose it every step of the way. And yes,
well,
we know there's Muslims out there who just want to get on with their lives, and we say good luck to them.
Okay.
You know, but there are certain ones who want to cause havoc on our streets, and we will not allow this to happen. You see my point?
I see your point, and if that's the case, right, and then I can understand your feeling on it, but I'm just trying to say it goes both ways. Now, someone brought up Lee Rigby, right? And I'm trying to say, now, Lee Rigby was a soldier. Let's get that straight. So we don't know, you know, he might...
You're going to make some sort of excuse. Because he was a soldier, he was killed by these soldiers of Allah, right? Because he was fair game, because he was a soldier. He was in normal clothes. He had a T-shirt on with a Help the Heroes T-shirt on. And that is the reason... why they run him down and they butchered him. That is why. And you can't, it doesn't matter what you say, pal, there's no excuse for those type of people. Do you excuse these people that butchered that young man on the streets of London? Our London. You live in London. Our London. Only about 4 or 5 miles from where you live.
I don't excuse that. Well, what I'm trying to say, what we're not looking at, right, is that it's the government. They're the ones who are going outside, and getting the Muslims upset, and then they come in and just letting out bombs all over the place or whatever. If you want to, as you're putting it to them, right? That's why they come and they do their suicide. They blow up the train stations and other things because of what our foreign policy. Even the guy who cut off the soldier's head said that it's because of the foreign policies, the government.
I'm sorry, mate. I can't. You know what? I don't care what these people have to say. They vote. They quoted out of the Quran exactly the reason why, and it was all to do with that book of evil. These people, these were two Christian people being converted into Muslims, right? They was converted from Christians to Muslims. And this is what we got. The extreme part of that Quran, they take it to their heart, and then they go by it, they get deep into it, they get brainwashed. And this is what you see. This is why we think Islam and the Quran is evil, because of the verses in there. It needs to be reformed. Until they reform it, there will be no peace in this world. Because they will continue, so they still want to conquer us. If you think that leave them alone and they'll be all right. A few years down the line, you might be wishing, oh my God, we should have done something. Well, that is why we're here, the English Defence League, because we know this is a threat to our future generations, my great grandchildren, my grandchildren. That's who it concerns, and that is what freedom is fought for.
Well, what about Christianity? A lot of people have started...
Christianity and Judaism was the foundations of this nation, of our nations. Yeah. And this has always been the way. And there wasn't these problems going back, say, 30, 40 years ago. It was just starting to show itself. Political correctness has caused the problem, the destruction of our nations. You can see before you what's happened. Political correctness.
This verse is in Christianity that okay slavery.
Do you see Christian people strapping bombs on their backs, going down to an underground and blowing themselves up? Who's it we hear all the time? It's Muslims. It's not the Christians, it's not the Jews, it's not the Hindus, it's not the Sikhs, it's no one else, it's not the West Indies, it's the Muslims, isn't it?
Listen, I'm trying to say to you, it's the foreign policy of the government, just like with the guy who cut off the soldier's head. That's what he said, he even said he ain't got no problem.
1400 years of world domination by Islam, and this is, all we've got is bloodshed. Over 242 million people being killed in the name of Islam. 242 million plus million people are being killed in the eyes of Islam. So don't tell me that this is some religion of peace, because it is not.
I didn't say it was a religion of peace. I'm just trying to say that the reason why we got this problem, right, is because of our government getting involved in their business. Because we've never seen Muslims attack us.
I'll tell you what, mate, this has been going back 1,400 years. Don't you tell me it's just our policies have caused this problem. 1,400 years they've been trying to take the world over.
Okay, that's good. I'm going to go far back in history, that's good. When Christianity...
Well, I'm going back in it because it's an historical fact.
But they sent in missionaries who killed a whole load of black people out there in Africa.
Oh,
right?
No, we're not getting onto that race thing now, are we?
I was dealing with today, but you wanted to go back 1,400 years.
We don't get these sort of issues now. We people see the errors in their ways. We don't get that, right? Let's put
slavery,
the race card in the background.
Arabia, black people, black Africans.
I'm just trying to say that Christianity ain't got a noble history neither. That's what I'm saying.
Define a noble history.
I'm not into Islam neither. Their history's disgusting. They enslaved blacks as well and selling them all over the world.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you look, you talk about, with Christianity, look at their prophet Muhammad. He had black slaves. And do you know what he called black people? Pug-nosed raisin heads. Now, that is a fact. That is what he called colour people. Pug nose raising. Now that's their so-called prophet, the one that they look up to, and so and of course it's got racial overtones. You look through. I'll tell you what, mate. Don't take my word for it. Have a look at the Quran. Look at the Hadiths. Look at the Surahs, and then you come back maybe in a couple of weeks after you've had a look at in some of the stuff that we're talking about on this show, and you come back and we'll have a conversation about different aspects of Islam and that. Yeah.
Yes, most definitely. I'm not going to listen. I've read the book, right? I've seen the contradictions in the book. So I hear what you're saying. I've also read Christianity, the Bible, and I'm saying there's contradictions in the Bible also that are alluding to the same sort of stuff. They're the same people that they worship.
You don't mind me asking, buddy. If you don't mind me asking, what faith are you? Are you just agnostic? Or what faith are you, if you don't mind me asking?
What faith I am? Well, you know, I believe in
would you baptize?
Supreme Creator. No, I believe in a Supreme Creator, but I don't believe in the books. I think all these religious books are written by a man. Now, there's good things in both books, the Quran and the Bible, that we can take and use as a moral compass and how to live our lives, but that's about it. But a lot of it is can be taken, if you take it literally, you can defend yourself killing another person. Even the Bible, same thing, has verses that, you know, if you kill my child, I want to come for you.
This isn't taken for the literal. I mean, let's be honest. In the Quran, it's more taken more literal than what we find. We don't really talk about the Bible because it speaks for itself. But we talked about the way that some of these people want to follow up on some of these verses, kill those who speak out against their prophet, kill all sorts of, you know, of people for whatever. And this is it. This is the verses that we say, we've said it for a long time, that they should be, if you can talk about revising, that's the things that they should revise, because otherwise it opens up for these people out there that will take it literal and want to go out there and totally cause mayhem. But anyway, I'll tell you what, maybe you can come back, say, next week sometime, if you call into the show, and we'll have a more of a longer conversation. We're just starting to wind down the show now. It's been a very busy show. It's great to say an opposition view of things, even though I don't agree with policies of what we've got with Islam, because Islam's been trying to push itself onto the world for 1400 years, and it's only good people that's pushed them back. And yes, we know there's good Muslims out there, and we say live and let live. And anybody who wants to prosper in their country and help, you know, the goodness of the country and that, we say good luck to them. The people that we oppose are people who try to impose Sharia laws, building more mosques in this country. We don't need more mosques. We are not allowed to build churches in Saudi Arabia. Why should they be allowed to build them over here? The mosque here, mosque every bloody where. So they're the sort of things that maybe we can discuss on another show with you. I've got to thank you for your time. Thank you for calling in to the show this evening. It's been very interesting. That's all I'll say. So thank you so much. I hope you're going to call in again and we can have a... It's been a pleasure taking your call this evening. And we do like, ladies and gentlemen, we like to have an opposing view. And yes, sometimes I do get a little bit right because, simply... I know what Islam's all about. I know that this misconception of what some of these people out there like to put forward. But we know the truth, and that's what we always talk about on this show. So, once again, I've got to thank that gentleman for calling in, poor actors.
That man is a racist fascist.
But, as I say, it was an interesting conversation. I do get a little bit of rate now and again, and I can't help it. It's just certain things. I find people sometimes a little bit ignorant to the facts, and I wish people would look into things more, because they just winds us all up, doesn't it? You know what I'm saying? but my goodness me. Has this show gone quick tonight, or is it me? It's gone very quick.
But we're down to, we've got, it's 23 minutes past 10. But once again,
Greenwich Mean Time.
Greenwich Mean Time, that's correct, Tom, thank you. My goodness me, we've had a very, very busy chat room. Very busy. I'm going to do it quick as possibly, because as I say, we haven't got too long. And tonight in the chat room, we've got myself, Jeff. We've got Kel, who's actually, who's been the host tonight. She's been the host because I have problems. I've got to thank Kel for all the work, and she's absolutely superb with the stuff that she's been doing tonight. I've got to say hello to Anna. I've seen you before, Anna. Welcome to the show, and I hope you're going to come back and visit us again. So it's good to see you. And, of course, we've got Bigfoot. Bigfoot, it's always a pleasure to see you, brother. Always. God bless you. And British News, my old mate Army, thank you so much for being here, buddy. Been a good friend of mine for many, many years. We've got COG. COG, it's always a great pleasure to see you. Thank you very much for here, coming here and supporting the show. And we've got Kath. Oh, Kath, it's always a pleasure to see you in the chat room. God bless you, Kath. And not only that, we've got our very own Mr. Cat Strangler 101, one of our panellists tonight. So, Tim, it's always a pleasure having you part of our team. We've got Dodgy Dave. Dodgy Dave, it's always a pleasure seeing you there, bruv. Some great links you brought up there. Eric Kyle, my old mate Eric, God bless you, brother. Thank you very much for being here this evening, as usual. Frank EDL has been here for a little while. God bless you, Frank, as usual. Getting Freedom. Thank you for being here. I haven't seen you before, but thanks. It's great to see you. And we had Glenn Savridge tonight as well. Glenn, if you're listening, buddy, thanks so much. We've got numerous guests here, guys. Thank you all so much, guys. You know what you do. You can get yourself a name and you can join, and at least we'll be able to, you can sort of join in with the chat that's going on. So please do, you know, bear that in mind. And also, we've got Golf Dogs. It's his birthday today. God bless you.
Happy birthday, Golf Dogs.
Yeah, Golf Dogs, God bless you, buddy. And we've got Matty Eastwood. Matty Eastwood, I haven't seen you before, buddy, but it's good to see you here this evening. God bless you. Moving forward, my old mate, moving. It's always a pleasure having you here. Mate, it's always a pleasure. Paul Alexander, oh, great to see you, Paul, as usual, great contribution to the show as well. And also, we've got Sabina Ray, good to see you, Sabina. See you more in the chat room. Smokey, TX, God bless you, good to see you too, sir. We've got Winston Alabaster. What a great name, Winston Alabaster. Good to see you as well. So thank you. I think that is everybody. If I've missed anybody out, I don't think so, because I've read through the names, as I say, and as I say, the gentleman who we've talked to in the chat, not forgetting, we got Sue from New Mexico, who's blimey, we got Sue. She's live. Sue, are you there? You're live.
I think I accidentally put Sue on live.
Is she here?
Yeah. Yes, Sue.
Hello, and it's been a wonderful show.
Oh, Sue, how are you feeling, love?
Sue, it's so good to see you. Oh, I'm sorry, but you was just live there, and I've got to say hello to you. I hope you're feeling much better, Sue. You've been in our thoughts and prayers. We haven't stopped thinking about you.
Today I woke up and it's a wonderful day.
Oh, bless you, Sue. You take it easy. Nice and slow recovery, darling.
I can imagine Sue is more now, guys. Woke up this morning feeling fine.
Oh, Tommy, bless you. And Jeff, you did get everybody, but you did forget one person that is listening in studio, and that is Baby Monkey Pro.
Oh, Baby Monkey Pro. Do you know what, Kel? There's been so many people. Ladies and gentlemen, it's probably been one of the busiest shows for a while, isn't it? Especially in the studio, isn't it, Kel, with the calls? Baby Monkey Pro, it's a blessing for you to listen to the show. God bless
you. I look forward to the day when Kel says, and we've got George Galloway listening as well.
and joining us on the line. Uh-oh, I'm getting that lady in my ear. 90 seconds, Jeff. Take care.
Oh,
God bless. Take care. Stay safe. No surrender ever.
No.
Ever.
I'm trying to... Okay, you might have to end the show. Oh, my goodness me.
I've got it, boss.
Well,
no worries.
You've got 90 seconds. Well, once again... Everybody, it's been a fantastic show this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you might be, whatever part of the world you might be, God bless you. We'll be back again this Thursday, and we've probably got a guest on this Thursday to talk about FGM, you know, female mutilation, and this lady wants to speak about this. So this Thursday, it's going to be a very interesting show. So for myself, from Kel, from Tim, from Tommy, from Frank, from the team of EDL. Take care, stay safe. God bless you all. And come on, guys. No surrender.
Surrender.
No surrender ever.
No surrender.
And with that, we've got probably about 40 seconds, and we kill something on a minute. We're going underground. Good night, guys.
There we go.
Good night, Jeff.
Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough for any of my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through your facts. 3 years of what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
And that was the end of the live show. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are into archives. And my goodness me, I've got a very busy studio this evening with people sitting here this evening. So it's so good to see you all here tonight. It was an amazing show tonight. I've probably enjoyed doing tonight's show, even though there's a bit of confusion at the beginning. But it was a pretty good show, I reckon.
Hey, there's never any confusion when I'm on the job, boss. Come on.
That's good to hear, Kel.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all those gremlins, if it's not you.
Those bloody gremlins get everywhere.
Yeah. They're like buzz, you know, and instead of going mad, like the gremlins go balmy when they get wet, the moths get balmy when there's enough of them. That's the only difference.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
I like that. How true that is, yeah. They go quietly around their business until there's greater numbers than they. It's Allah Akbar.
I tell you what, mate.
Watch out, heads are going to roll.
I think it comes from feeding them after midnight, if truth be told. Yeah.
They fuel up fucking Ramadan, do they? Because they lay around whining all day, and then they're up all night stuffing their faces. And then they're back
in.
Yeah,
it's really freaky, isn't it?
Yeah,
that
and
can't
then
be very
in...
good for the digestive system, can it? It must be unhealthy for you
unfortunately, it's not fatal.
Unfortunately,
so.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, they just come in and use it as an excuse. Clock on, skive off, and then they're up all night. But, well, someone bring booze in. It's a load of rhubarb.
Yeah.
Anyway, mate, what I'd like a bit of feedback from today, you know, I'm... like give him a little bit of feedback. I forget his name now. Was it Poor or something?
Poor Actors.
Well, anyway.
Poor Actors.
Well, the
actual
pronunciation of his name is, and my apologies, and he's actually still listening with us on the line. And
brilliant.
I spelled his name phonetically, and, the whole thing jumped on me. And, Paraxis Teacher is his name.
Right.
But you know what? I'm going to be speaking with this gentleman down the road, and I'm going to get that corrected because it's embarrassing when you have people call into a radio show and you don't even get their very name right.
Yeah, plus the fact I think we missed a trick. He asked for 10 minutes, and that's fair, you know, on the chat box. He asked for 10 minutes. He didn't get two, I don't think.
Oh, he did. No, Frank. He had...
He was on the phone for 10 minutes, but he didn't get 10 minutes worth of say, honestly, mate. I think what we should do... I mean, there's a lot of things. He was nearly answering himself. I mean, it's not as if he was complete opposition. And I really don't think we should be able... We should have to put off people like that, because this is... These are people...
That's what I said to him. I said that you are very welcome to call in and we could discuss other things. You know, as I said, I knew the time was ticking away. So, but I think it was quite a good conversation. It's what people wanted to hear. They wanted to hear a little bit of people with varying views. And that's what we had, I think.
I thought that he was a brilliant caller. And I liked his conversation. He's very polite. He's very committed to his opinions, and that's what we want.
Why,
this
you,
is
Cal.
What we want on the EDL radio show. We want dissenting opinions.
Yeah.
We agree to disagree. And I do hope that he does call back next week. And Pro, I'm just going to call you Pro for short because, like I say, I'm the producer of the EDL radio show, and I'm embarrassed that I did not quite catch the full spelling of your name. But I would love it, Jeff would love it, and Tim and Tommy and Frank would love it if you would call back next week. Jeff tapes his show Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So please feel free to call back in.
Yes, please. And this is what we said. I've said it before. I welcomed people to call in. Maybe their views are different from ours, and maybe we can debate over certain issues. And that is, we was debating maybe. It got because everybody was sort of coming in together. It wasn't nothing to... Yeah, Poor Actors, it was nothing about ganging up, but it's certain things you might say, people all of a sudden you find that we've got a panel where everybody jumps in together. So my apologies
you've
got that.
Exactly. This is why it's sometimes it's just best that there is one-on-one and that, Jeff, that you speak with your guest and you interact back and forth solely.
Yeah, and that's. I'm glad that you interjected there when you did go, as I say, because it gets where people are talking over each other. You know, we can't help it. It's just human nature. Sometimes you do it, but it's always nice to interject so that we can just have this one-on-one a conversation going, a debate, whatever you want to call it. And I think it went quite well. And as I said, I was watching the time as it was ticking down. So, and that's why I welcomed him back. That maybe there's some points that he wants to use on another show that we can. It just makes it interesting for our listeners that we like to take people's views that are not quite the same as our own. But that's what it's all about. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for our listeners.
I've got the impression though, mate. He wasn't totally convinced and banging his drum or anything else. I think, you know, if we'd have heard him out a little bit more, there was just a couple of pertinent questions we could have asked him, and I think he'd have thought about the answer. There's not a lot of difference between us. I mean, for instance, I would like to suggest that up until lately, whites and black people in Lewisham were getting along reasonably well. I mean, the kids go to gangs and all that lot, but mostly. But it's only lately, since Islam's come on the scene, that everybody's it's dividing and upsetting everybody.
Communities, yeah, exactly. I've got you. It's
like a squeeze of lemon in the milk. It just curdles a bloody lot every time.
Yeah, and that is a big problem, and that is something that has to be talked about. We, you know, these are the very serious points you got there, because as you say, it's splitting communities. It's putting groups, one in group there, and there's another group there, and that causes all sorts of friction within the communities. And a very, very good point that you bring up there. And I think you would agree, Tim, wouldn't you? That is what we are seeing, divided communities since Islam's been on the scene.
This is a chance to stick them back together again, mate. So, you know.
We'd have to just.
The thing is, we're all so familiar with each other. We butt in and there's no sweat. But this is the first time. I mean, this show really, now you think about it, it evolved tonight. It's not just preaching to the converted anymore. We are actually reaching people who are interested. They might have their own views. They might have their own doubts. But if we treat them rationally and not just try and score points, we can persuade people, because we know we're on the right track.
Well, we know we've got the truth in front of us, Frank. This is what we say. We've got the truth. We don't have to use misconception and what the media tries to spin out in this country.
Yeah, but with the truth, mate, it's a lot easier to present it to somebody to work out for themselves than bang them over the head with it. In fact,
that's a good point. Had Tommy drop off, then he's probably got a slight issue there. But no, good point there. Now, hopefully, as I say, we'll have him call in again. I know you're listening there, buddy, and it was really good. I can't help myself. There's certain points that I do get, you know, when I think about some certain things that's happening in the country, when people say, oh, there's only been a couple of things. Well, a couple of things was seeing people with their arms and legs blown off, and that was, I'm talking about 7-7, and talking about Lee Rigby, and other atrocities going on. People being beaten up here, there, and everywhere. You've seen it at the bus stop with them kids being just attacked for nothing because they was in the wrong area, because they was non-Muslim. That's the issues that we've got. And it's going on all the time. It's getting worse. It's not getting no better. And, of course, the police are so complacent to do their jobs because, they get called racist, or they're in a Sharia-compliant zone that they got to go by what the Muslims tell them, especially if you live in Tower Hamlets, ladies and gentlemen, that they are complacent to the Muslim there. Am I right? Or I'm right there, aren't I, Frank? You know, that's the point, isn't it?
There's no doubt about it, mate, but there is no doubt about it. But, like I say, if we go about it the wrong way and we start ambushing people, then they're just going to go, well, they're just going to slam up and go to the other side before be positioned. You know, if they're being attacked from one side, they'll just go to the other, whether or not they've thought about it or not, you know. I just...
I think some people just make their own minds up one way or the other,
yeah.
Frank, you know.
Sorry, mate. You know when you said about... Sorry, go on.
No, go on, Frank. What was this, mate?
No, you know when you said about Lee Rigby, and he was talking about the Lee Rigby case, yeah? I mean, he was saying that they were quoting the British foreign policy, yeah? Now, I would like to have asked him, and if you're still listening, I mean, you obviously can't reply yet, but you can think about this answer. Do you really believe that those two fellas were actually spent the last couple of years following current affairs? Or is it more likely that they've just been listening to rumours in the mosque, got wound up about it and gone over the top?
Well, that's a good point. There's something for him to ponder over, and if he calls back in, something that we can highlight on maybe one of our next shows there. So, yeah, good point. Good point there, Frank. But, Tim, you've been rather quiet. Your thoughts, bro?
First of all, I'd like to thank our caller. I understood his name to be something like Poor Actor. If I haven't got that quite right, I do apologise. It was good to hear you, and I really would like to hear you call in again. I didn't get a chance to speak to you myself, but I did sense a genuine interest in the subject matter that we were talking about, and a genuine interest in hearing what we had to say one-on-one. And if you get a chance to call back in again, I'd certainly like to chat to you myself. It's good to have callers like yourself to provide that kind of balance on the show. I'd like to certainly hear from you again if you can call in next time.
I would like to add to that too. Is that if you would like to call into other radio programs, Tim and myself, we are the freedom-loving infidels on Radio Jihad Network, heard here on Blog Talk Radio. You're more than welcome to join us there, and you're more than welcome to join Tim and myself Mondays at the Red Fox Blogger, heard at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, freedom-loving infidels, 6 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, 11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So, sir, you're more than welcome to join us on either one of those programs.
And if you listen to Blog Talk Radio, it's just not our shows, but there's other great people out there. Blog Talk Radio is a great place to be, ladies and gentlemen, and especially to our caller. But it was so good to hear Sue's voice this evening. My goodness me, Sue, I don't think you've been far out of our minds. Whatever we've been doing, definitely been in our thoughts and prayers. But it was so good to hear you talking. All of a sudden I see that you was live. So I hope you're mending well now, Sue. I hope you're on the road to recovery. We're still sending our thoughts and prayers out for you. You do a fantastic job, guys. What a great lady Sue is. She's absolutely awesome. And of course, we mustn't forget that we've got someone who's very poorly. So she'll be in she's in our thoughts and prayers. And we just hope that any news is good news, don't we, Kel? You know.
I'm a little bit beside myself with Anne, and our thoughts and prayers go to Anne and her family at this point. She has a daughter, and Anne is in our heart.
It's worrying times, Rizal. You know, we, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, we are, you know, Blog Talk Radio.
English Defence League Radio, as all Red Fox. We're all part of a one big family. And that's that we've often talked, when myself and Kel were talking, and myself and Tom, it is like a big family. And when one of us hurts, we all feel it. Isn't
mm-hmm.
that the case, Kel? We all
mm-hmm.
feel
yeah,
it because
we
become so close-knit with each and every person. We know at the end of a phone with someone's talking, or at the end of a Skype, that is another person. That is someone that you've grown to love and to care about. And anything, you know, beside themselves happens to them, we can't help but worry because they are like our family. So I just wanted to put that out there to everybody that it's listening to Blog Talk Radio, that it's a great place to be. It would be great to meet people, great people, differing views. We're self like the English Defence League Radio, English Defence League, the organisation. It is about human rights. We are a human rights organisation. We've always been a human rights organisation. And we'll always talk about the things that's so wrong that we see within Islam, especially with the way that the women are treated. Only about half, a woman's only worth that half of a man. That is correct, isn't it? Half of a man
mm-hmm.
and a half the belongings and this, that and the other. And the way that they treat children. I mean, these are the things, these are human rights issues. And of course, the way that they want to, if they have their way, Sharia law was the norm. People like Tommy and other good people that we know, dear friends of ours, would be probably strung up from cranes, like you see over in Iran, ladies and gentlemen. That's the sort of thing that these people would want happening to, you know, normal people who maybe their gender is a little bit different, but so what? Live and let live. But these people don't want that. They just want to kill them. They want to totally annihilate these people. But not on our watch will that happen, because we believe in protecting all people's rights. We, as I say, human rights, and that is a part of our mission as well. So there you go. Anything you want to add to that, Tim or Kel or anybody else?
No, I think you've summed it up for me, Jeff. What about you, Kel?
He summed it up for me as well. And Jeff, if I may take liberties, I have the exit tune that I would like to play.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic. As I say, we're going to sort of wrap it up now. It's been a hectic night, but I loved every second of it. I know you have, Kel, Tim. I hope you've enjoyed tonight. Sue, bless you, Sue. It's good to see you here in the studio. And we had another caller that was sitting listening to the show as well. And it's gone right out of my mind who it was. It was a pretty new person to me, Kel. I didn't see that nickname before, but it was good to see. We get so many people listening to different devices of the shows, don't we? So it's got to thank everybody out there. And so really appreciated that they tune into the show week in, week out. So, Kel and Tim, Sue, Frank, who else have we got?
No teacher.
To everybody, thank you so much for listening to the show tonight, supporting the show in what you do. And as I say, we'll be back again this Thursday. Yes, we might get that.
Yeah, actually, my apologies. His full name is a poor teacher. His full name is a poor teacher. So my apologies to a poor teacher for that.
No, I think poor teacher. I think it came out of it. Otherwise, he would have pulled us up on it. I know someone. No, I say my name sounds like. So I think we were nearly on it anyway, wasn't we, Kel? Whatever. So it was,
yeah.
It was great to take the call.
Mm-hmm.
It was great
mm-hmm.
to take the call, and everybody was interested. The chat room was jumping. It was a very busy chat room, wasn't it? And the studio
mm-hmm.
itself has been very busy this evening. So anyway, before I draw, because I'm going to draw out now, because I had a cup of tea. So I've got to thank you both and to everybody else who sort of helps put the show together and contributes And all the great works that you do, thank you so much, guys. It's really, really appreciated. And we love it, though, don't we, Carol and Tim? We like doing what we do because we feel no, it's so, so important that we continue to do as we do. So with that, Tim, Carol, for what Tim, it's a bit late. You're the same as mine, mate. But, Carol, have a great evening. To Sue, get well, Sue. It's good to see you. It's just good to see you in the studio and just hearing your voice after a little while of you've been rather poorly. So with that, Kel, I'm going to pass it back to you and I'm going to say to everybody, we'll be back again this Thursday. Good night, take care, stay safe, God bless you all. And, of course, there's no surrender from none of us.
No surrender ever.
God bless.
Yeah, good night.
God bless you, Sue.
Oh, I love all of you. Good night.
God bless you. Bless you, sir.
Another great show, boss.
Well, there you go. This is the English Defence League radio station. We're signing off for this evening. So we'll be back again this Thursday. So good night. And to Kel, thank you so much. Great job. God bless you, Kel.
God bless you, Jeff. I'll talk to you later. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. See you Thursday. Bye-bye.